One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
And when they started rewriting the Bible, a bunch of politicians, and they began to say, well, if the Bible's wrong and they got to change it, and the Bible is the thing that formed America and brought about the Constitution, maybe the Constitution's wrong. We'll rewrite that. That's where they're wrong, too.
Amen.
You know what I've said all the time? Just reread them.
Amen.
Rewrite them. All right. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it's spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. You had it. School's out and the jig's up for you, buddy. Smart aleck. You proud outfit you. I'll deal with you. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom and give it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. I've been feeling some of them claws. Same thing again. I mean, we might as well face it. I mean, some of you kind of get scared, you know, and that's why a lot of people are scared to come out here. Brother, those claws are growing again.
Right.
You say, what about them bird feathers? That's fowl. Amen?
Right.
What grows feathers? Fowls. We're facing the fowls again. And we're facing the old bird claws again. Nebuchadnezzar was put out in the pasture with the rest of the beasts to eat grass. Probably the best thing he'd had to eat in a long time. He got out there and got him a green salad. He's got well. I think he had a nervous breakdown, went crazy. Pissed him out there, you know. Notice, at the end of the days of Nebuchadnezzar, said he lifted up his eyes unto heaven and his understanding returned unto him. Did you get it? He lost his understanding. I told you he went crazy, didn't he? He lost his understanding. Isn't that what happened to America? You know why? You know what our understanding is? It's the Lord and his word. We've lost it. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? Nothing. He found out. Brother, when he came out of that grass patch, I mean, when he got out among them cows and animals, he said, I tell you one thing, the inhabitants are as reputed as nothing. You know what that word repute, that's reputation. Their reputation don't mean nothing. He learned something in the cow pasture he didn't learn in the University of Babylon. I mean, what that old donkey taught him, and that old bellowing cow, and them howling cows, what they taught him, he couldn't learn in the University of Babylon. I tell you, I think we've got a bunch of people that need to go to that college again out there, don't you?
Amen.
I'm not through. Moses, he stayed in the schools of Egypt for 40 years. He had access to the best instructors of the day. And he wound up a murderer. picked him up a club one day and busted a fellow on the head, knocked his brains out. Didn't the Bible say he killed him?
Yeah.
That's what he learned down in Egypt. And God said, I got to hit you for the pasture. I'm going to put you on Billy Goat Road. Get out yonder in the pasture. And he sentenced him to 40 years. He stayed out there 40 years and got him ready for the burning bush seminary, didn't he? Listen. What he learned during those 40 years, he couldn't learn in Egypt's universities. So many things I could say, but I'm trying to get over to my text. But I want to see what he said here. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my count, notice, for the glory of my kingdom, not me. Mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, my Lord, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven.
Amen.
I decided I'd just glorify the right one this time.
Amen.
And all whose works are truth, that's Jesus, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now that leads me up to my sermon. His son came along. He's named Belshazzar. Belshazzar, I imagine, suffered a good deal as the son of a crazy king. Nebuchadnezzar lost his reasoning and his understanding. And of course, I suppose they didn't have any psychiatrists back there, thank the Lord.
Amen.
So they just had to put him out in nature's intensive care ward. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And he had to get out there until he got a hold of heaven's tranquilizer.
Amen.
And the dew of heaven fell on him. And he ate the grass. And he got back to nature for a little bit. And the old boy improved. And he didn't have any way to look except up. Nobody around there to tell him. God told him. And brought now then his son, Belshazzar, he's come along. And he's moved into the big seat. And he's somebody. And so Belshazzar, he decides he better pull a great big celebration. And he got a drinking party going, which has always been of the devil.
Right.
Every nation that ever died, died drunk. General Petain, when France went under, and the undying flame to the unknown soldier was put out. He said the next morning to the world, my men were too drunk to fight. And when Pearl Harbor is finally brought to light, and we know the truth, and I was over there preaching in Honolulu, and my wife went out there, but listen, you put this down. Our boys were not ready when Pearl Harbor tragedy took place.
Right.
And the enemy knew exactly when to strike, didn't they?
Right.
On December, didn't they? It's the 7th. Way back yonder. A long time ago. Our nation is nothing but a drunkard nation. The liquor stores have more liberty than Brother Olaf does.
Amen.
Belshazzar, what are you going to do? He said, oh, we're going to get the liquor in. Well, I guess that's the privilege of a king. They tell me they got a lot of liquor around the White House. Looked like that sort of goes with it.
Yeah.
All these big businessmen's planes have a whole case of liquor in them. They just
drink.
They serve liquor on every flight, everybody except the pilot. And I remember one night I landed up yonder. One day I landed up at an airport close to Denver, Colorado. And I had to get some gas. Fact is, I was in a little old tri-pacer. And I was bucking a 70-mile headwind. And I was barely holding my own. I mean, I'd just making a little time, that's all, not much. I finally landed and I said, man, I got to have some gas. The old boy at the pump, he said, you know, he said a whole load of people came in here last night in the dark going to Denver to a football game the next day. So they landed here. And he said that pilot said they had that thing loaded with people, twin engine. And he said, they they came up to the pump, and he said, did you know that the tanks were dry when they got up to the pump? The old boy staggered around. The pilot said, he staggered around to me. He said, I thought that thing was missing. He said, I knew. He said, when we was taxing down that runway, he said, I could tell them engines cutting off on me like that. I didn't know what was wrong with them. Running out of gas. Within 5 minutes of certain death for everybody on the plane. Think of that. I've made a lot of foolish mistakes, but not that bad. In the end, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Belshazzar's fixing to get it. But here's the thing that got him. He stepped over on God's side. See, if you're going to drink liquor, you better stay with your crowd. Don't try to mix God up with it.
Amen.
See, I mean, don't drag it up to the churchyard here. See, that's the thing that's hurt us. I believe that, you know, there are certain things that need to be done by the state, but when the state steps up in the churchyard, I've been helping Caesar, and me and Caesar have been good friends. And I paid my taxes, and I believe we ought to stay by the flag, and I believe we ought to be obedient to the law of the land. First of all, which is the Word of God, second the Constitution, and I believe that we ought to be obedient, sweet, clean citizens, build Christian homes, and live right. But when Caesar walks up in the churchyard and says, I'm going to run your church for you now, and that's where my fight starts, right there.
Amen.
You see, a lot of preachers don't care about that because they have no divine call or sense to preach. They don't feel like that they got sense enough or love enough. They're just kind of waiting for retirement. Since I don't have no retirement, I'm just going to have some refirement and go on.
Amen.
I mean, I don't care. I mean, I just want to do right, and I know I've got to do things the way God tells me. I'm through. I don't have man to depend on. He didn't tell me that he's going to take care of me when I retire or get old. God did.
Amen.
I mean, when I'm old and gray-headed, I'm not worried, or bald-headed, he's not going to forsake me.
Amen.
I mean, he's my retirement plan.
Amen.
My retirement plan is a man.
Amen.
My salvation's in a man. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And so Belshazzar called his fellows over, and I see his old eyes sort of sparkling with liquor, you know, and he said, well, he said, let's make a big occasion out of this. He said, y'all beat it up yonder and get the vessels from Jerusalem. They call them the sacred vessels. Would you go get them and let's see how wine, I mean the best wine I have, let's see how it tastes out of those vessels, those golden vessels. Oh, they said, sure, we'll be back shortly. And brother, they was pouring the liquor down. And they came back. I said they came back with him, and the old king and all the concubines and porcupines and all the rest of them, there they were. Ah, they was having one more shindig. And the king said, all right, he said, pour them out. Just pour them full and drink them. And they were having a bit. All of a sudden, strange thing, a man's hand without a man. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin. And brother, that broke up the drinking party. And all the musicians got out of key. Oh, brother, that old king began to, I'm talking about Belshazzar, the smart aleck. And he's a typical politician today. Whining and dining his constituents. Don't forget to vote for me. He said to the musician, get out! Or the musicians, if they sober enough, got out. And he said, bring in the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the fortune tellers, bring in my wiseacres. Tell him to come right away. Sure. Oh, he'd look up there once in a while hoping he's gone. He's still there. Boy, his smart alecks come in. Said, yes. Said, You see that on the wall? He said, yes, we can see it. He said, interpret it for me.
I can't read that. That's a strange language to me. Strange things. Isn't the Word of God strange to a lot of people? Man, it's a Christian's native tongue.
Amen.
That's the only language he can speak. Now, listen. They looked up and they squinted their eyes and probably pulled out their bifocals or whatever they had. I imagine the nudge, he said, what do you think about it? He said, man, it don't mean nothing to me. I said, what about it? He said, man, I don't know a word, not one word of it. The old king looked and said, all right,
what does it say? What do you think I'm paying you for?
Yeah.
Read it.
Your honor. I ought to have said, your dishonor. We can't read it. And they said, you ought to be killed. About that time, Mrs. Belshazzar came in. Oh, she came in and she said, and she couldn't read it either. Well, she said, let the king live forever. Well, his forever's about over. Yes. Let the king live forever. So there's a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the gods abide. She missed that, the spirit of God, not gods. He said, what is his name? Daniel. He's the man that refused to drink your wine, you know. He's the man that wouldn't eat your meat, the king's meat. You know, he's the young boy you got and brought him into bondage. His name is Daniel. And he refused to defile himself by eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. Let him be called! And they brought Daniel in. Can you see him? I know this is an old-fashioned scripture, but brother, we need to rehearse it every once in a while.
Amen.
In this wicked day in which we live, when people think they can run over God's people and get by with it.
Amen.
Judgment morning! I said there's going to be a killing. I said there's going to be a killing. And God's going to do the killing.
Amen.
I found out one thing. God never would stoop low enough to let me fight his battles for him. He said, son, stand aside now. Get over in the pep squad. Sing to me. I'll take care of them.
Amen.
And that's it. And I'm waiting. Daniel. Oh, he said, listen. I'll give you a beautiful robe. I'll put a string of pearls around your neck. You'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. If you can just interpret that handwriting for me. Daniel looked at it and smiled. He said, let thy gifts be to thyself, give thy rewards to another. Nevertheless, I'll tell you what he says. Oh, can you read? Oh, said, sure, I read it every day. Oh, that's the nicest language I know. I tell you, of course, it's not going to be so nice for you. But he said, read it! Well, he said, don't be in too big a hurry. He said, how long's it been since you've been to church?
Church?
How long's it been since you heard a sermon? I don't hear sermons. Said, you fixing to hear one.
Amen.
Wasn't you smart, Alec, huh? No, he's just bold. I have so much saying to thee, and then I'll tell you what he says. He said, all right, go ahead. He said, your father, Nebuchadnezzar, had a kingdom. Am I right? Yes, sir, he did. Whom he would he slew? Whom he would he put down? Whom he would he kept alive? Am I right? He said, yes, that's right. Go ahead. He said, but when he got increased in pride and lifted up and vaulted himself above God, God snatched him off of his throne and pitched him out in the cow pasture. Until his body was wet with the dew of heaven. That's your daddy. Son, you remember that? Yes, he said, I remember that when that happened to Dad. He said, all right. And thou, his son, though thou knewest all of this, hast not humbled thine own heart. You have not profited by your dad's mistakes.
They said, "Are you ready for the message?" He said, "Yes, go ahead." Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. It simply means your kingdom is gone. You've been feasting and playing when you ought to have been fasting and praying. Belshazzar, you've stepped too far this time, son. You may be the king, but the King of Kings is after you tonight.
Amen.
Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians, and the enemy's knocking at your gate right now. He said, "Is that all it says?" He said, "No, there's a personal message for you." And that's what scared him right there. It's not these general messages that get us in it, it's that personal message. He said, "You mean you wrote something for me?" He said, "Yes." "You're too light to go in the scales, and you're going in them." You see, the sinner doesn't realize it, but he's going in the scales whether he gains any weight or not. See? And I'm sorry to say, but most of the people that hit God's scales are never going to balance the scales. And I'm going to tell you how in a minute and tell you why. But I say what I say. "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." There's not enough merit in your soul to balance the scales of God. You said, "Was it his liquor drinking?" No, that was a result. If he'd had the Lord in his heart and righteousness of God, and the tranquilizing presence of the wonderful God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he wouldn't have had the liquor that night.
Amen.
He'd have been serving orange juice or something else to his people. He wouldn't have had that wild, desecrating, God-dishonoring party. Bill says, "It's all over with you." The Bible said that night, they got him. And that's all of him. He didn't profit by his old wicked daddy's mistakes. Boys refuse to do as well or better than their dad.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today is, "Do children profit from their parents' mistakes?" Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3328. Include the call letters to this radio station and also today's date. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. If you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month of April is "Oh, to Be Like Thee," a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are "Jesus Means All to Me," "Down the Sawdust Trail," "I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord," "He Knows Just What I Need," "The Fire Song," "Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul," and several, several more. Now, when requesting this CD, ask for offer number 310. That's 310. And enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas
7843. Again, that offer is Oh to Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is of Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.